So today, I'm going to talk about intentionally living and a thing that I call the fed up factor. And these two principles are really important to nail down, especially as an entrepreneur, and you've probably experienced them at some time in your life. By the time I'm done just sharing this, though, I'd like for you to reflect and see where in your life you could apply this principle or in those that you're with those that you're coaching. And then I'm going to open this up and we'll kick it off with anybody who needs help. Okay, so let's talk about intentionally living. Well, first off, I'm going to talk about what I call the fed up factor. I've phrased it in ways in the past. Like kind of setting your own threshold or setting your own zero. And for those just joining, can you go ahead and mute yourselves so there's no background noise? And then just unmute yourselves when you're ready. Okay, cool. So this is what I call a fed up factor. And basically what happens in life is there's a lot of people go through life, and if life is good, if you're actually doing well, we don't experience this as often as we should, the fed up factor. And we almost get into this lullification. It's like we're lulled into a place of being okay, being good enough, having everything just fine, being taken care of. And we stunt our growth. So what happens is when someone who is doing okay, doing well, like already making money and having good things happening, they don't actually do what it takes to change because they haven't experienced what I call the fed up factor. And what the fed up factor is when you, and I'll tell you how to intentionally create it, but it gets to a place where no matter how good things are, if you're trying to change and make a change, if you truly want to make the change lasting, you have to go through what's called the fed up factor, which is getting to a place where you're literally just like, okay, like I'm done. I'm fed up with the results that I'm getting, even if they are just okay results. And you stop settling and you stop accepting mediocrity for greatness. And it wells up inside of you. It's almost as if every cell in your body starts to rebel against your current situation. And it says, this is not acceptable. And your spirit, knowing who you are and your potential, starts to actually take over and say, this is not tolerable. This is not you. This is not what you've created. This is not anything about you. And it gets to this part where it's almost like this righteous indignation, this fire inside that starts to burn, which is called the fed up factor. And that gives you motivation. It gives you inspiration from a point of possible desperation. Not in desperation of lack, but in desperation of trying to achieve something that isn't happening. And it gets you driven enough and inspired enough to actually change and make a change permanent. So if you haven't experienced the fed up factor, here's why you haven't. And this comes through intentionally living or living intentionally. In life, everything is a frequency. What you eat, what you drink, what you think, how you communicate, the past, the present, the future, everything has a specific frequency or pattern of energy. And if you choose every day to live intentionally, let's say, for example, you wake up and your choice in your mind is, okay, I'm going to actually live this day with intention. So you wake up, you maybe stretch and think about what you're going to stretch to create today. When you walk to the bathroom, you're thinking, okay, thank you, and giving gratitude and truly just putting it out there. When you use the restroom, you're releasing all of the negative things that are stopping you from your goals this day. When you go get a drink, you're instilling the thoughts of prosperity, of light, of love, of passion, of energy, of awakeness, of presence. And you start to do things that are menial, but with purpose. And instead of just being on autopilot and doing the motions because that's what we're supposed to do, you start to live intentionally. What happens is when you start to live with intention, day by day, minute by minute, you start to create a new frequency pattern. And whatever you are currently, let's say your goal that you have, if you have a goal and you start to live everything with intention, if you're not attaining that goal, you're going to create a gap. There's going to be a gap of all the things that you're doing to create what you want and your current result. And that gap is called the fed up factor. If it gets big enough, it's going to cause enough disconnect, enough pain, enough frustration where commitment and decisions will happen. And you will decide and you will commit to do things above and beyond the norm. You will start to talk to people, you will start to confront your spouse, you will start to be able to communicate with your kids, you will start to go and enroll higher tiered, higher paying, higher quality people. But it only happens when that gap gets big enough where you feel it between the vision of what you want, everything that you're currently intentionally living, and your current situation. Because if you're not attaining the goal that you want, if you have truly set that as a goal, you will create the fed up factor by doing aligning to that goal and living in alignment to that goal. And if that goal hasn't occurred, there's two options. You'll either stop, change, drop out, do something to lessen the frequency, or avoid conversations or lack or not confront certain things. That is one way to lessen the gap, lessen the pain, lessen the feeling of, oh, this feeling of fed up, which some people mistake for chaos because it is a form of chaos. But if you choose it, it's a chosen chaos, which what happens right after chaos? Creation. So if you are allowing yourself to create what you want, you will start to see that your life will become more chaotic. Things will happen. People will respond differently. Things will break down and it'll be very frustrating. And we might blame things outside of us, but that's actually part of the transformation. And if you choose to move through it, you will go through the fed up factor where it will actually change who you are, how you communicate, how you show up, who you enroll, who you communicate with. You'll confront things 10 times more. You'll start to be able to manage everything, where instead of being a victim to something, you start to be a creator over it. So if you're not experiencing the fed up factor, step up the frequency, step up the energy, step up the alignments with your goal. Maybe you don't even have a goal yet. So solidify the goal. Don't change the goal. It's like when you get so close to the goal and it feels like there's all this pressure, and then people have those two choices to either back off, change the goal, releases the pressure. Like, oh, yes, this is how I should live my life. This is much nicer. Yet they were on the brink of the boiling point. They were so close. And I see so many entrepreneurs do this where they choose in, they go for something, stuff happens, But instead of intentionally living and focusing on what they wanted in the first place, they drop it. They lower the heat. And instead of evolving, they settle again. And this pattern has been a pattern of their life for years. And the key is to now see that and then now choose to live that on purpose. To say, okay, I've got a goal. I set a goal. I go for the goal. I align everything in my life, which means things are going to hit the ceiling. Because it's if you weren't aligning, if you weren't attaining that goal, it's because something was off. So you'll see chaos happen because things have to be broken down in order to be built up. You'll see communication with loved ones. You'll see money sometimes start to shift. You'll see time. You'll see all sorts of stuff. You'll see your health. You'll see things breaking down until you make a decision and decide, no, I'm actually fully going to attain this goal. I'm truly going to be this person. And that fed up factor is so real that it drives you with this motivation, this passion, this decision to do what it takes. As long as it's legal, moral, ethical, fun, and intelligent. And then you attain the thing. You allow yourself to be in the chaos and take the chaos and put it into what you want. You handle it instead of letting it handle you. So the two pieces I want to let hopefully you get out of this is when is the fed up factor and intentionally living. So when you set a goal, be aware that things will happen. Like for me, for example, I just experienced this yesterday, which is why I'm talking about it, where I had been kind of dabbling with my weight and being like, okay, yeah, I'll kind of work out, I'll kind of not, and I'll do it a little bit here, do it there. And I had to get to a point where I was fed up, and I decided because of my vision that it wasn't accurate with my current results. Like I'm 20 pounds over what I want to be, and I am not in the state that I want to attain. So I created this vision of what I wanted, and it's been in the creation for a while, and my reality was not that. So I had to go through the fed up factor. So now it's a decision, and now I know exactly where I'm going to be in it. There's like no other option. And it's going to happen. And whoever's in the background, can you mute yourself? There's like banging going around. Or clanging or something. So with that, like where in your life are you trying to achieve something that you're not? Whether it's with your coaching business, whether it's with your communication with your family, whether it's with your health, whether it's with your connection to your higher power. And if you are not attaining that thing, you need to create the fed up factor for you. So how do you do that? You start to live intentionally, align with that thing, focus on it, be able to do everything conducive to moving towards that vision. And if you're not changing, if you're not currently doing the things that you know you need to do, you will create this gap that's called the fed up factor. And if it gets big enough and the void of where you want to go and where you're at gets distant enough, it will be frustrating. It will cause a lot of chaos in your life until you make a decision to actually make a change and make it permanent. Make it real. And you're the only one that's going to do that. So if you haven't done that, it's because you've lessened the stretch. You got close to it and then backed off. You got close to the feeling of you got in the chaos and it got too overwhelming and you backed out. You backed down. I'm going to invite you to move through it, to step it up, to increase your commitment, not decrease it. Because as you increase your commitment, that will increase the chaos and it'll increase your ability to create as you manage the things and master it. Because you're becoming that person capable of handling a new situation, a new creation. Cool? So I want you to pick something that you can actually live intentionally and hopefully create some of this fed up factor. Because if you align and inundate yourself with all the things that you want in life and you're not getting it, amp it up. Keep putting it in until you get fed up and you make a choice and change. Cool? All right. So I'm going to open up the call now for any comments on this particular piece. And then we're going to open it up for Q&A. And I'm just going to take and handle whatever you guys have and work with you guys individually. But first, I want to hear some comments about what I just talked about.
I find that I value comfort and peace, and I easily go out of that chaos. And that's my biggest challenge is of what I value, which is not a bad value, but it's not a value that helps me move forward.
Absolutely. And you're not the only person. Like, every single person who doesn't experience that, it's because they value the comfort and peace. We settle. And it's like, okay, this is good. I like feeling comfortable. I like feeling like things are working. But it's not actually working for you when you're in a comfortable position. It's going downhill. So, and here's the thing. It doesn't mean you have to be. So be sure your definitions are solid. Like, when you're in chaos, so chaos to most people, they think unmanageable, overwhelming, too much. However, if you think about it, even just pause. Like, let's say you're in the middle of chaos, and we just pause for a moment and say, who is more capable? The chaos or this being who I am, who was created by a being much greater than anything on this planet or outside this planet? And just logically, if you've got that belief system to say, could I not have the ability and power to actually create and move through this? And just give yourself that belief to say, you are stronger and bigger and more capable than any possible situation on this planet. Nothing. There's no other situation that you couldn't handle. So first off, we have to believe that. And secondly, we have to be willing to move through and get out of our comfort zones, to get out of some of the comfort that we've created in our lives, which in my opinion is probably one of the biggest crippling things on the planet right now. Is people are too comfortable. We just settle. We're like, oh, this is nice. I have a good income. I have a good lifestyle. I have a good family relationship. Until they actually set something to do that pushes them. Then it shows the truth. Like, I used to think I had a honky-dory life until I actually set a goal that stretched me. And then I realized I had a lot of garbage inside of me. And it was the best thing I could have ever done, which was set a goal that was beyond what I thought was possible and align myself with that goal in such a way that I became so fed up with my old self, my old comfortable self, I had to kill it off. And I had to create someone who thrived in creation. Who thrived walking through chaos and taking all the pieces and saying, let's turn all this stuff into something that's going to help people. So yeah, Lori Kay, I get it. Like, we all want comfort. It's the natural thing. So you have to make a choice to say, to actually change that and make a decision to move through it. And it doesn't mean you sacrifice comfort forever. But you can actually create by moving through that, and you can comfortably, whatever your definition of comfort is, my definition of comfort is being capable. Like I feel when I feel capable, I'm actually in a place of comfort. My old definition of comfort was settle for less, be lazy, not do what I know I need to do, and avoid. That's my old definition of what comfort meant. So I had to change my definition of comfort to where it meant stand in the chaos and enjoy it and move through it without being overwhelmed, but handle things. And that I consider comfort. Does that shine some perspective on that, Lori Kay?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Yeah, and I appreciate you bringing that up because we all go through that. And yeah, go ahead. Andy, was that you?
Yeah, yeah. I'm fed up and I'm not comfortable. I'm in chaos and I'm done with mediocrity. So I can totally get what you're talking about and I want to get through it. I'm super, super motivated to get through it.
Way to go. And that motivation is going to drive you to choose into your higher vision. And the thing is more clarity will come the more fed up you get. So a lot of times in my past, I've wanted someone else to help me just get clear or help me give me what I needed to do or tell me, you know, give me instructions, tell me exactly what I need to do and coaches that I had even hired. And I was like, okay, I got so fed up that I felt like I needed to rely on someone else, that I was constantly not doing what I wanted, not attaining the goals. So instead of giving out the blame to my coach or giving out the blame to my spouse or giving out the blame to my situation I had created, I had to take full responsibility and ownership and say, okay, what the heck do I want? And it was almost like this, just like, raw, like this, what do I really want? And claim it and say, this is who I am and what I want. And when you can take all of the things that you've created, the energy from that, pull it in, and then stake a claim on what you want and who you are and what you stand for, you don't need anybody to tell you what you need to do. And it's very empowering. You can say, this is my goal, this is my focus, this is where I'm going. This is who I am in doing so. And anything that isn't conducive to that, I'm letting go. Oh, my old self wanting to turn to negative habits. Kill it off. My old self who wants to overeat and not work out or not wake up early or not do these things or not be this, kill it off. And I'm using some masculine verbiage here because the fed up piece, it can go very masculine where it's like, okay, I'm done. And you step in and you just kill things off. It's like, I'm done. Or it can go in a feminine way where you're fed up and you've tried so much, you've been working so hard, you've been doing all these things, and it's almost a surrender. That's more of the feminine approach. And you surrender all of your past, you surrender all of your weaknesses, and you then choose to use your skills and your abilities and who you are to create the greater things. So there's a balance between the masculine and the feminine at all times. Yet sometimes I find myself mostly needing to go more masculine. As a male, that's where I usually err. My wife, she tends to fail more in the feminine area, being a female. She just, and her personality. So for her, when she has some of her biggest breakthroughs, it's usually when she surrenders and lets go and trusts. And then because she's already motivated. She's already doing a ton of stuff. She's already in the masculine energy a lot. She's already going, going, going. But if you haven't been getting results, then it's a masculine energy that you need to tap into. If you've been getting results, but it's not the results that you want, or not the highest form of the results, then it's probably a balance of first a feminine surrender, and then a masculine step in with the direction that you need to go and continue. Hopefully that didn't confuse people, but hopefully that shines some light on some perspective there. So yeah, Andy, what do you want, man? Like, you say you're motivated. Motivated to do what?
Motivated to sell my practice, to make sure that it's humming along until that time, and to enhance my relationships and to get coaching clients to make this transition from brick and mortar to the virtual practice. I'm doing all the preparation, but I'm not getting to the point where I'm making money doing this yet. I need to displace my income. So that's the chaos that I'm in right now. And I'm super motivated to do it. So
good. So what's your first plan of action to make money?
I've taken
how are you
first
gonna make your first set of income.
I have coaching clients that I'm getting from Peron, the epigenetic coaching. None of them have. It takes several weeks before I get the actual data to analyze and go over with them, and they have not opted for any coaching through Peron, which is an affiliate. And so when I speak to them, that's my opportunity to convert them to coaching on what they want in life, not just the physical. So that's what I'm trying to do is get them to realize that, hey, there's much more than physical that I can help you with. And so that's a conversion process I need to make.
And how many people have you talked to so far in that pipeline?
I've talked to them pre-consult, but I've not talked to any of them post-consult. Because like I say, it says it takes three weeks or so to before I get their all their data and analyze and all that good stuff. They send the test kit in. They come back. I get the data and analyze it. And so
how many people are in the pipeline?
Four.
Okay. So with those four, what's your game plan to convert them?
That's where I'm at right now. My game plan is I don't have my coaching options clear yet. I need to go over that with you. So,
okay. This is where you're going to need to step it up and say, okay, I need to have everything in order before I meet with my first person so that I can enroll them into what they need. So the pieces that you need to have down are, number one, a blueprint. Number two, some package details. Number three, you need to know how to handle a strategy session. And that's it. So if you can facilitate a powerful strategy session where you set intentions and you say, great, here's your analysis. Here's all these cool things. My intention today is to go over your analysis, share with you your vision of what you're creating, figure out any gaps, any missing pieces. And then if you're open to it, I'd love to share with you some opportunities to help you attain your goals faster. And if it's a fit, we'll talk about other opportunities and get you on your way. If not, at least we can go over the vision of what you're creating so that you can actually attain the goals with what you have. Sound good? What's your intention? And you go through the whole strategy session flow, right? You get into their vision, you get into their problems, you get into what they're already doing, what they already have, and find some gaps. Then you share with them the blueprint. You share with them the program details. You talk finances. You get them plugged in, and you diffuse objections the whole way, and then you have them sign the check, and then you have a client. That's the flow of the strategy session in 40 seconds. Right?
Yep.
When you have that down, So you have your blueprint, which are the 7 steps that you are helping people overcome, which should fill the gaps that they have. So it should be very appealing to them. It should be like, wow, this is exactly what I need. And you should have in your mind, out of those 4 people, you're at least going to convert 1 or 2. Into a $2,000 program. Okay? And there's no reason you couldn't have that knocked out within 24 hours, all those pieces.
Okay?
Got it?
Yep, I got it. Got to find the time, but yeah.
Yeah, so like make the time happen. Like, this is your focus. So that setup feeling, that is for this. Like, the whole thing you're trying to create is based on the beginning piece right here with these 4 people. So prioritize it. Like, make that a focus. Because I know you've got all these other things going on of, like, the web or the online summit and all these pieces, but the truth of the matter is the fastest way you're going to generate income is with these 4 people in the pipeline already. And honing in on the core foundation of the skills of how do you actually sell coaching programs to someone and do it consistently? Because your online summit is going to rely on this foundation right here. If you can't have a solid program and help someone through a strategy session and communicate it to where they want to sign up with you, then it doesn't matter where you come up with more clients or how many people you have in different pipelines, you don't have the foundation. So get the foundation solid. And that's only going to happen through coming up with what you want, forming the blueprint, getting the strategy session down, which you can study in the Impact to Income program, or we can role play, or we can whatever it takes, and come up with some program details. And that's it. Like, that's all. It's very simple. And you could literally have your blueprint and program details done in an hour or 2. And we already talked about some of that. So you should have it down even faster. And then the study, the strategy session flow, that takes an hour online. So literally 2 hours, you could have everything you need for your foundation. And then it's going to be implementing it, practicing it. I would role play. I would take a stuffed animal and I would role play that sucker. And I would say, okay, cool. And those 4 people, I would name them. And I'd give it to a stuffed animal. I'd say, Joe, cool, I'm so glad your epigenetics thing just came in. Let's set some intentions and go through a mock strategy session where they actually convert and do it with all 4 before you meet with them. That'll take an extra 30 minutes each because there's little resistance with the stuffed animals. But you play both. Bob's like, cool, yeah. Oh, I had this question about here and this. And he's like, okay, Bob, tell me about your vision, man. And so you just play both sides. And you're like, oh, my vision is this. And this is what I did. My first $12,000 sale was based off of a freaking stuffed animal. And I say that because that's exactly what it was. I practiced. I role played with stuffed animals. And then when it happened, it felt real. It was already natural because I had practiced. So you got to put in that. And I didn't have the time to do it. So then late at night or early in the morning, I'd wake up and I'd sit in my closet because I didn't want to wake up my spouse. And I lived in a very tiny apartment. And I just drilled it. And that was me creating. That was me managing the chaos and saying, okay, I am going to create what I want and I'm going to do whatever it takes. Even if it's sitting here and talking to this stuffed animal. And I got so good at it, now I can do it in my sleep. And to sell something for $35,000 is no big deal.
Okay. Thank you.
Got it. Cool. So tell me what you're going to do.
I'm interviewing two speakers this morning, and I have to get to know them before I interview them. And I have 2 hours between the time I start seeing patients, and I have 3 files to work on. So I got to find the time somewhere. I don't know where I'm going to find the time, but I'm going to do it. And I've got, great. I got to, so
where's the time?
Yeah, that's a great question. I got a meeting this evening. And so tomorrow morning I have a full day, but I'll get up early and figure this out somehow.
Great. So like, what time are you going to do it in the morning?
I'm an early riser. I can get up at 5.
Great. So you found the time.
Usually always filled with scriptures and all that good stuff and exercise that I usually do, but I'm going to displace that with this tomorrow morning.
Yeah, there's time and place for everything, right?
I'm frustrated with all the things that are on my plate right now. I'm off.
Yeah. And here's a thing that you have to look at is, I had a very set regimen of workout, read scriptures, do like spiritual for an hour, like really focus on this, and do a bunch of stuff, which was really good. It was awesome. And then I realized that I was actually using some of those things to opt out from the very thing that I needed to focus on. And even in my spiritual prayers, I would ask, Heavenly Father, help me with this stuff. And it hit me. I was using him as a crutch to avoid the thing that he was wanting me to do, which that was just for me. But this was something that I had used, where I was using spiritual things to avoid doing the very thing that I needed to do, which was ridiculous. And so it was cool because I started to read with purpose and I started to study with purpose. And so I remember like studying in the scriptures, and it was like 5 minutes, and I had the impression, go role play, go practice selling. And I was like, oh, and I actually used that, and it was actually a spiritual experience.
That's what I'll have to do. Okay.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean you like stop reading your scriptures ever, but it means when you read it, it's like, what are you working toward? And then in the scriptures, I even found amazing sources for sales and sales conversations and people who role played and asked good questions and sold them into the vision. And I would read that and I'd be like, oh my goodness. And then I'd have the impression, practice it, do this, stop reading your scriptures and go do this. I'm like, okay. And then I started to focus on doing more instead of just thinking more. And when I got into more of the doing, everything I started to think and study actually became pertinent. And I studied less because it was with a purpose. And it helped me and served me in such a huge way. But I remember opting out and doing so many spiritual things to try to attain a goal. And it was like a slap to my face. It was like, I was like, think about it like baking a cake. And so if you're like wanting to bake a cake and you're praying about it and thinking and reading all the time, and then it's like, why don't you just get up and bake the cake? It's like, oh, that's a great idea. Why don't I actually put some time into baking the cake if that's my goal? And I had a disconnect between what actually created what. I was doing a lot of the mental and emotional stuff, but I wasn't actually going and grabbing the ingredients. Mixing the ingredients, turning on the oven, putting it in the oven. And I was like, wow, when you actually do the things by law, you follow the things that are going to get the results, you get the results. The only reason I wouldn't get the results if I wasn't doing the things that got the results. So hopefully that helps.
Yeah, thank you.
Cool?
Yep.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, who else?
Tyler, so Clark, I have a question.
Go ahead, Mark.
have a question about like vision boards, affirmations, because I realized that I was spending a lot of time doing all of that when, in fact, if I just aligned myself with it, I wouldn't have to repeatedly do these things. What's your take on that?
Amen. I agree with that 100%. You take what you want on a line, then it's your time spent doing instead of just focusing. Because the whole point of a vision board and visualizing is to get it so real, to get it so ingrained that you do everything that you need to do to achieve the goal. So if you align, yeah, it's cool to have a vision board. I actually don't use vision boards anymore. And I use mostly declaring as a way of saying things that I've suppressed or not shared, like a more finish the conversation type declaring, or like fed up declaring of like, I'm done. Let's step in and let's create. So like motivating declaring is how I do it mostly now. And when I align with something, and I vision on it, I still think it about it. I still see it. But if you're truly aligned, it's so ingrained. It's like so real that you just can't help but go do everything that you need to do. So like alignments are for helping you do stuff. Like that's the whole point. So yeah, vision boards are still good. Like if you're seeing it all the time, now it should be like a vision board. What's the whole point of a vision board, right? So Lark, for you, like what's a vision board for?
So I can focus on what I want and it's in front of me, and I can, especially before I go to bed, I look at it so that when I fall asleep, I can remember those are the things I'm working on.
Yeah. And is that vision board ingrained throughout the day?
Some things are.
Good. Because that's the whole point to me, is like a vision board isn't just to look at it in the morning and at night and then forget it throughout the day. And some people fall into that category where they'll look at it because it's what they're supposed to do, then they forget about it because they're not focused and they're not aligned and they have so much chaos in their life that they're like, oh yeah, that's my little dream that I'm thinking about, but not really doing anything about it. And so to me, it becomes a crutch because now they feel like they've checked off, as long as I look at it, then I've done my duty. But no, the whole point of a vision board is I like to term it as a creation board, is to say, okay, these are the things I am working toward, actively doing. And it's a doing board. It's like, okay, these are the things I am creating, man. These are the things I'm putting energy and effort into and work into it. And if I'm not working towards something on my board, why is it up there? Take it off. Like, otherwise, it's just going to remind me of stuff that I'm not doing, and it's going to be a hindrance. It's going to be a guilt reminder. So I remove things that I'm not focused on, that I'm not actually going to choose to focus on. And I only focus on the things that I'm working towards. That way, it's centered and focused energy. So there would be times where I'd have, like, 10 things on my vision board, and I'd take, like, 9 of them off, and I'd be like, you know what? I'm not even doing anything on these. So I'm not even going to look at them because it's just reminding me that I'm not doing what I need to do. And it's actually lessening my ability. It's a reminder of how I'm being lazy or whatever. So then I take them down and I say, okay, what's the one thing I'm focused on? Or what's the two things I'm focused on? Or what's the three things that I'm working towards? And then I use it as a reminder for the things that I'm actually going to do. So that's kind of how I look at vision boards now. I've changed a lot of my mindset around vision boards. They're really powerful because it's a good visual reminder. But what makes it powerful is the doingness behind the vision, right? And if you're not doing something, it's because some part of you is not aligned. So if you align, then it's like ingrained in all of your cells. And you're constantly thinking about it. If you don't think about it, if it goes away, then you'd want to anchor it again. And if you're constantly re-anchoring it, it's like bringing up full vision on every cell of your body every time you re-anchor it. Which, that, talk about power. And you're going to be like reminded of what you need to do and setting plans. And because you're so aligned, and if you're not doing what you need to do, it's going to create that fed up factor where you get so fed up that you're like, I am going to start to do everything I need to do. And you just start doing. Instead of being busy, you start being productive and working towards your goals. Does that make sense, Lark?
Yes, it does. And then a couple other things that you said about all the prep time that you used to use, like the whole spiritual and just laying the groundwork, the foundation. I also realized that I spend like 2 hours every day just like laying the foundation. And I finally realized that that really wasn't serving me because I have a foundation. I now need to switch and spend more of it doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 30 minutes is great. Study for 30 minutes and then go do. Right? I used to spend so many hours building the foundation. And I got addicted to spiritual highs because it made me feel like I was actually progressing, even though financially and my goals, my things were off. And I used that to justify. I was like, well, at least I'm studying my scriptures and at least I'm studying and being a good studier. And I was like, what's the whole point of that though? Like if I was a parent and I saw my child, like if my child was like, Dad, I want to, let's go back to baking a cake. I want to bake a cake. And they're like, okay. And all they do is study about it and they read about it for 2 hours a day. And then they like, I feel justified. As a parent, I would look down on them and be like, what are you doing? This is really weird. Why don't you just go bake the cake? And they're like, well, I just didn't feel capable. And I was like, okay, well, here, do you know how? Like, let's first figure out, do you know how? Do you know how to bake a cake? No. Okay, well, then maybe there is some study that you need to do, but it's on how do you do it. Then learn how real fast, because it shouldn't take too long. Then what's your first step? Then go do that. Second step, third step, fourth step. And step by step by step, they're going and actually creating. But I think we get so caught up in the philosophy and taking care of ourselves and all this. But the best way you could take care of yourself is actually go achieve a goal that you want. That's going to take care of yourself more than anything.
Okay. And then
you're
mentioned
processing with purpose. Right?
Okay.
And you're like
right.
Spiritually learning with purpose of like the whole point is, what are you doing on the planet? Like, isn't that the whole point of like studying spiritual enlightenment and everything is like, who are you and how you show up, how you treat people, how you treat yourself. But all those are actions.
Okay. And then you mentioned earlier about the masculine, feminine and surrendering. In the past, my go-to has been very much the slay it, the push through energy, the masculine energy. And I went through that whole surrender just this weekend, and it was not a male surrendering. It was a female surrendering, which, you know,
yeah.
Finally like, okay, if this is where I am and God wants me to be here forever, then I will accept it. But if not, I'm ready to make some changes. And it was a completely different energy, and it was very interesting.
Cool. And what did you get out of that?
That I can change without having to have that masculine push, and it, and the allowing and the trust that I can use the talents that I have to fulfill the mission that I have, and I don't have to have that push masculine energy to do what I need to do.
Yeah. Way to go. That's huge. Congrats. Mm-hmm. And for you, Lark, I think it's going to be important to maintain the balance, because part of your nature is very masculine, which is a great thing. So sometimes we go extremes to counter stuff. And I would just suggest to find that good balance of productivity. So it's like, okay, surrender, let that feminine energy just boost you up and heal you and like be really powerful. And then, okay, then don't forget that there is doing this that needs to occur, and remember to start doing, but still maintain that feminine surrender. And it's a fine balance. And go ahead.
Well, what was interesting is after I did that Sunday, and then in the evening, I came up with this idea that that some people had asked me to do this little, like, hey, teach me how to do this, which is not something I enjoy doing because it's so very basic. And then I thought, mm-hmm. Well, if I'm going to do it for, you know, three people, I don't want to do it three different times. I'm just going to put it out there and do it for them. And maybe other people want to do it. You know, and it's just a little class, very basic. And I had massive response. And I thought, isn't that interesting? It's not something that I would have thought of on my own or wanted to do really, but I can. And the response was overwhelming. So I thought, well, there's another funnel opportunity.
There you go. Yeah, that's usually in those spaces is when the most creativity and the most productivity occur. So congrats. That's awesome. Cool. I think we had somebody else who had a question.
I have some questions.
Yeah, who's this?
This is Lori Kay. Yeah. So I have scheduled on my calendar to do a live event for teaching the CAT training. And I also am trying to have on my schedule at the same time to do online training. I would like that to be after my live class, and I'm concerned that I'm trying to do too much, but I just want to do it. So that's my first thing, is with you knowing about me and my...
Here's my suggestion there. Just do live first and do it a couple times.
Okay.
Because the tendency will be to jump from one thing to the next, but the improvement comes from duplication. So if you do a live one and then you do an online one, you're trying two new things at once, mm-hmm. and you'll drop the momentum. So you need to focus on one method and improve that method and improve that method and improve that method. I didn't teach it online until I taught it live at least 10 times.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it's a whole different platform. It's a whole different style. It's a whole different way of doing it. The tendency as an entrepreneur is going to say, oh, but there's a few people that want it online, so I'm going to do it online. And then you put all your energy into that and you drop the momentum from the live. What should happen is you focus on the live. You focus on everything that needs to happen in the live. So it's like, okay, live and then upsell. And then as soon as it's done, your focus should be on the next live. Like, you should be marketing right after. Sweet, I just did this thing, boom, next one. And you keep the momentum going so that you're constantly filling for the next live one. And do it 2, 3, 4 times until you convert well. And then do it again. So, like, you should be able to at least get a room with 10 people who have paid you anywhere from 300 to 500 bucks and fill it with 10 people and then upsell at least 3 out of those 10. And I would not change platforms until you can do that. Because there's so much room for you to grow there that it would be a disservice if you jump platforms and tried a different method. Like, drill what you know, drill what you've been practicing. Yeah. And then when you get good at that and you're like, okay, I can duplicate this, you know deep down inside of you, because it's been done 2-3 times in a row, okay, I know how to fill an event with 10 people, and I know how to upsell at least 3 people at that event. Now I would start doing it online, because you have a working system.
And that way I don't need to learn how to do MailChimp, or I do need to learn how to advertise. Well, no, I would have to learn to do MailChimp, because if I'm advertising even to my local group, I would need to have some sort of email flowy thing.
Or you could just send them all an email.
Okay. Like, yeah, I was trying to do people. MailChimp, and like, and it's like, you need to clear your cookies, and so I was looking up how to do that.
Yeah, so
computer is so different all than you what do, you're saying.
So here's what I would do, is I would make 3 emails. I would make an email as soon as they purchase, and I would just put this in a Google Doc, label it email number 1, welcome. As soon as they purchase, what you'll send them. A week before the class. And then 24 hours before the class.
So not using MailChimp, but just physically do that.
You could, if you want to go learn a new platform, but let's say you just have those 3 things done, and let's say Sally signs up today, you could just send Sally that first email. And okay. Then, like, that's not hard at all. It's not like you're managing 100 to 200 people at once.
No, it's not. And like I said, I've tried to look into MailChimp, and my computer's so different. When I Google how to even clear cookies, their suggestions don't work with my computer. I can't even find the setting in my computer the way they are saying. You know, so it's being a block.
Yeah. So don't even go there. Like, it's just going to waste your time.
Okay.
So just keep it simple, simple, simple.
Okay.
Like, I didn't use any automated flows till probably a year in.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I was just doing everything manual. And at first it was kind of like, oh, and it was until I got fed up. I was like, okay, I'm beyond the point. And then I actually had the brain capacity to confront that.
Well, yeah. And right now I don't have the monetary aspect to support getting tech support, you know, hiring someone. Mm-hmm. And so,
I'll just keep
it simple until I get frustrated with that.
Keep it simple. Monetize a couple live events. Get good at that. And then think about maybe getting some help.
Okay. So I just started looking at advertising on Facebook for my local people. I was just Googling that while listening to you guys do other things. I haven't gotten too far. Do you have suggestions for how to do that?
Can I answer that, Tyler?
Go for it, Lark.
Lori Kay, until you are closing in person, don't even go down the Facebook ad route. Just don't do it.
Okay.
That's my 2 cents.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lark.
Well, my concern is not being able to find the...
It only took me 2 years and thousands of dollars to figure that one out.
Okay. I will gain from your experience and not do that.
So, Lori Kay, tonight at 8, I'm going to do another class. I'm going to be sending out an email for all the certified people. I'm going to do another class at 8 tonight, because I've seen some posts on Facebook, and honestly, they just suck. So I'm going to show you guys how to actually post and do good posts.
Thank you.
Because I thought I had covered that, but apparently it didn't click, because I'm seeing people post, and it's making me want to, like, cry and hit my head against the wall. So.
And Tyler, regarding posting, what you told me like a couple weeks ago when we had the call, and you mentioned, you know, teach something of value. And once again, it's a learning thing. When I posted something that really taught them, the engagement was huge. When I just sat there and beat my drum about, hey, I got this class and this is what it can do, nobody cared. But when I taught something,
people
went crazy. Yeah.
Exactly.
So how are you teaching them? Is it with words are you doing a live video?
Facebook Live.
Okay, so you're doing the Facebook Live. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Just like we trained, Lori Kay.
Yes, yeah. Now, the other one I know the answer to, but I still feel like I need to say it. Okay,
great.
So Heidi and I are in this, we've been taught the same modality for healing, and we have the same pool of friends that would be interested in upgrading to the CAT. So that makes me feel that I want to jump at that pool faster than she does. I understand that that is the wrong intention. I understand that there's many people. I understand that she connects better to some people and I can connect better to others. But nonetheless, I still have that desire to... I feel like I have put forth more money, and I really want to recuperate some of that by accessing those similar friends. And I understand that's all the wrong vibration.
I was going to say, what's the drive? Why are you doing it?
The why is because I feel like it's beneficial to them, but I also feel like they will go to her if I don't do it. She's been a mentor for this modality, and I have not. So she has more connections. So the few that I have, I really would like to have.
And great. So that would mean that I would. People.
Well, yes, but that would mean I'd have to do the live video aspect, you know, and you're saying.
Why don't you just talk to them?
Because they're not in Utah. I mean, they're not in Arizona. So for me to teach them, I would have to teach them live. I'd have to teach them through Zoom and stuff like that. So you're telling me to focus on live, but there's, I'd say, six to 10 people that I would really like to connect to that she would know as well, that she knows 50 to 100, you know, and I know 6 to 10.
Okay. Great. So I would set, then you could do this. If you want to hit some low-hanging fruit, you could say, okay, all right, if I can fill it with 6 people, I'll run it, and I'll do it online. Okay, so you could say, okay, I'm going to do it online. If I don't get 6 people, then I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
Or 5 people, or whatever number you want to set it at. But
make it
worth it to you. And say, okay, so go out there and be like, okay, hey, I'm doing this thing. You could just even just reach out to them. I was thinking about you. I just finished getting certified in one of the most phenomenal techniques on the planet, and your name popped into my mind because of all the expertise that you have, and I'm looking to fill to teach it to about 5 people online. And if you're interested, I'll put you on the interested list, and I'll reach out to you again if I find enough people interested. All I'm looking for is like 5 people. And if we get 5 people, we'll get you going. Here's the price point on it. Here's the details. Like, just tell them all. And they're like, yeah, I'm interested. Cool. All right, cool. I'll let you know. And just go and talk to those 5 people. And if they're all 5 are interested, then you go back and say like, hey, sweet, we're doing it. It's this date. We've got 5 people solid. So here's how we're going to do it. And then get the payment.
So then I get into needing to decide about Zoom, because I can do 40 minutes for free, and then we could do a break, and then I can do another 40 minutes. Or I guess it only costs, I don't know how much it costs to do a monthly fee.
So Lori Kay, that you're so stuck in the money.
Yes, I am.
So if you truly want to serve people, stop making it be about the money.
Okay.
You've got to separate yourself from the victimhood of money and start serving.
Okay.
It doesn't mean you give it for free.
No, that's my problem, is I always give for free, and then I also...
It means quality. It means you put in the effort. You pay it forward, and you've done it in being in part of programs. Now it's doing it with your services. Zoom is like $15 a month or something.
Is that all it is? Okay, I hadn't really. Okay.
Yeah, so like people get so caught up in these minor details to try to save a buck. And if you try to save a buck, you're going to lose an impact. Think about the people and who you're serving and focus on serving. So it's like, what's best going to serve the people? Is it going to be to send them a link every 40 minutes? And oh my gosh, that would be painstakingly annoying. Versus, what if I actually just say, I'm going to do a class. It's going to be so amazing. And you know you're going to pay it forward on the Zoom course or whatever you're going to do it on. And you just get five people plugged in for $250 and they learn the modality and it's life changing for them. And you just made $1,000. Now you can pay your $15 fee. Great job. Like, you're playing so small. You're playing so small.
Yes.
So small. And where you need to be playing at needs to be 10 times bigger.
Yeah. Well, and
your
right.
focus is on the little people that you have because of the lack of abundance mindset. And it's like, I need to monetize these six people I know. Such a limited mindset there, totally based on money.
Oh, and I recognize it. That's what I told you. I'm like, I see all the flaws.
So you need to go through the fed up piece where you're done being a victim to that.
Yeah.
Because that well, is not, you're not going to serve people, okay, if you stay in that space.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be a coach. You're not going to make money. You're not going to make an impact. If all the time is focused on how can I get one or two people, you've got to think bigger. You've got to expand your vision. You've got to start talking to more people.
Okay.
And let that drive you. Okay.
Yeah, I guess. And it's
silly. It's not silly. I went through this myself. I get it. I had to get so fed up. I was so sick and tired of chasing one or two people, thinking that those were the two people left on planet Earth that I knew, that if they didn't enroll, there would be no one else on the face of the whole entire planet who I could find. And I had to find some sort of ad or something that would magically make them come to me and say, Tyler, you're the diamond in the rough I've been looking for. Oh my goodness, here's all my money. Thank you. And I had to stop being a victim to trying to chase dollars and say, okay, I'm actually ready to be a coach. I'm ready to live what I teach. And I'm going to just push through everything. And I'm going to become that person who makes decisions every day in accordance to my message. So I used to do everything free. I used to do it all cheap. I used to do everything like that. And I said, are these choices in accordance to who I am and who I'm trying to be? And if it was, I would continue. And most everything was not. So I had to say, okay, I had to choose different choices based on my new career.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess, I mean, having, yeah, it's $180 a year for this Zoom thing. That shouldn't be a big deal. And it's just so funny how that, it's weird. Now, my next option is I am trying to find a place to rent to do a live event. And if I can't manifest that time after time, what do you think?
What do you mean you can't manifest it?
Well, okay, I have found a location, and they said yes, but they said I can only use it if somebody happens to be working that day. And I believe for the first time I will have that be there. And my fear is I've already, anyway, my fear is I'm not going to have my five people there at the live event that will be paying the $350.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, because it's who I am, and it's so frustrating. So, like, the friends that I have, the one can't even, she doesn't have food for her family. And so I'm like, you know what? Come clean my house. You know, just come. And she's interested in learning. I've done a session on her. It's been powerful. She came from your Facebook group.
Okay.
So, but once again, I'm attracting the ones that have no money. And so I said, hey. And she actually paid me. She said, we just got our tax return. I'm going to practice spending money and not take you up on the cleaning thing. And so she paid me $150 for her session.
There you go.
And I gave her $50 worth of gluten-free food so that her family would have some food to eat. And so...
Okay, so Lori Kay.
Yes.
Start charging people what they're worth, which that was great. $150 was awesome. And if someone's struggling, why are they struggling?
Her husband got in an accident and hasn't been able to work.
Great. And then why are they struggling?
She knows that she has money mindset issues. But the thing is I can see myself saying, hey, you can clean my house and not pay me this $350. And there's another friend.
Do you want to do that?
I would be fine doing that for her. But there's another friend. I've already said, you know what? If you can pay me just $200, you can come. And I do it over and over again.
Great. And how long are you going to continue to do that over and over again?
As long as there's people that have a need more than I do.
And how long is that going to be?
The problem is I don't have that big of a need. I have a husband that supports me.
Yeah. So you're just going to keep doing it the rest of your life?
Probably so.
Great. And if that's the lot that you want to take on, then you do that, if that makes you happy.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. Because it does make me happy.
Great. Well, then keep doing it. If that's your goal, then do it. Like, if your goal is to help everybody who has no money and get them in for free or for super discounted prices, then, and that's the kind of people you want to work with and that makes you happy, then do that.
Well, it makes me frustrated when they don't do what I say. It makes me frustrated.
Yeah, why do you think they don't do what you say?
Because they're not invested.
Great. So do you actually want to do that?
No, I know it doesn't.
Work with people who get you frustrated?
No.
So what do you actually want?
I want to believe that I can help people move forward, and I want to help them move forward.
Oh, so you don't just want to enable everybody who doesn't have any money and cripple them by giving them stuff for free all the time or discounts?
I'm trying, but failing.
You're not trying very hard. Otherwise, you just do it. How many people have you talked to in the past 5 days to enroll them into your class?
I guess two.
Two in 5 days.
Well, okay, four.
Four. And how many converted?
Two for sure, the ones that I gave discounts to.
They already bought?
One gave me $50 down payment already.
Okay, cool.
The one that,
congrats.
Yeah.
So Lori Kay, look, you're on a gradient. In the past, you were doing a lot of, you were even afraid to even say, hey, give me money. Now you're actually charging people. So you've come a long way already. So kudos. Now it's time to go to the next gradient. Like, okay, so you, now you're charging people, but it's a discount, which there's no shame in that. Like, own that. Like, you actually got some clients. Kudos. Way to go. That's huge. And now just go up to the next gradient and say, like, okay, cool. Next person I want to do is I want to get a paid in full and focus on that.
Okay.
So instead of focusing on all of the why I'm doing it and, oh, I'm not a, I'm just enabling, blah, blah, like you went down the spiral of depression and self-deprecation or whatever you want to call it. So instead of doing that, keep focused on the vision. What do you want? Oh, I want to enroll a paid in full client. Great. Go get a paid in full client. And maybe the next one is another discounted one. And you say, okay, why was that discounted? Oh, it was discounted. They had lack. Why did I attract the lack? Oh, maybe it's because I didn't feel good enough. Okay. Am I deserving and am I worthy and capable of enrolling someone at a full price? I think so. Great. I'm going to go do it again. And you have to start changing your mindset and your communication skills. So where I used to do the same exact thing, trust me, I charged $15 for a whole hour session back 6 years ago. I would lug my whole, I would drive to their house with my massage table, and I would charge $15 to $30. And I'd discount it, and I'd stay longer than I needed to. So I get it. And I know how to get out of that. And it comes through commitment to the vision of what you want. I had to get so tired of just working with people who weren't progressing. No shame on them, but it was a disservice to them by me giving, because I wasn't teaching them. I wasn't setting the standard. It was like if I taught my child, okay, don't hit people, and then she just hits them, and I'm like, oh, darn, I guess there's nothing I can do about it. And I don't take a stand for what I say. And I get walked over. I had to believe in myself and desire what I wanted more than the current situation, which caused, going back to what I talked to today, that gap. And I had to get fed up with being walked over, fed up not attaining my goals, fed up setting a goal and not attaining it. And I had to get so fed up that I was willing to change how I talked. And I started to talk differently. And I got rejected. And I went through things that I was afraid of. And lo and behold, I enrolled clients at full price. And I started to feel better. I started to see it work. And I was like, wow, maybe there's something to diligence and persistence. And as I continued, then I started to say, what's the limit? And I went from $15 a session to $80, then $80 a session to $2,000 for a big session, bunch of sessions, seven sessions, and then $8,500, and then $12,500, and then $35,000, and then $65,000. And I said, oh, I guess money actually doesn't matter. This was all just a whole big lot of nothing inside of my brain that I made up. It was just this mirage that I was living. And I had to separate myself from focusing on the money. People who are broke focus too much on the money. People who struggle focus too much on their money. They're the slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Most people who are in poverty have been so victimized by money that they can't create anything anymore. Because they're so focused on money. Focus on the impact, Lori Kay, and let the money happen.
Okay.
Believe in people as creators. Know that if you charge them $250, all the people that you're going to charge on the United in the United States can come up with $250. There's nobody you could talk to that couldn't come up with it. And I've talked to people who have been $200,000 in debt. I've talked to people who are living in the basements of their parents, fixing to go through a divorce, lost their job, living on credit cards. Guess what? They came up with it, and it was $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the best things they could have ever done for themselves because they had dug themselves in a pit of non-belief. And they were going to spend the money elsewhere on junk, because that's what you do in those situations. So why not be a standard to help somebody get out by demanding that they pay it forward and believing that they're capable? Trust in them. Trust in the people. Love the people. Trust the people. Charge the people. Stop being a victim of money. Got it?
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can I put my 2 cents in here, Tyler? Because I am just dying.
Go for
love
it,
Lark. You, Lark.
Go, okay. Go for it, Lark.
Lori Kay, I love you. Okay, so first of all, you're talking about online versus Zoom. In my opinion, they're two different things, because the Zoom you want to do is for your warm market. It's not, let me market online, let me go out to a cold market, etc. Personally, I don't think they're the same thing. So to do a Zoom, it's just the next step over from a live with your warm market. Do you see the difference?
Yes. Yes.
So if I were you, I would advertise for the Zoom, fill the Zoom, record it. You can use it later. It will be awesome. And you don't even have to upgrade your Zoom account until the morning of your Zoom thing. You know what I mean?
I thought it would be like a yearly commitment, you know, so it's like $180, which is not that big of a deal.
You know what? It's if you want to pay $2 extra a month, it's like $14 a month for a monthly commitment. I just did it myself just 2 weeks ago. So, mm-hmm. And then your words reek of lack. Okay.
No, I know. And I'm like, I know this is going to be so bad because I see it.
Well, here's the thing. You know, Tyler called you out on the people, like, you know, oh, there's only 2 people in the whole wide world. When you said, oh my goodness, I don't know if I'll be able to find another location. What, that's the only location in the whole wide world, in the whole state of Arizona? Seriously. Do you see?
Well,
you see that
I'm willing to pay for. Like, I found another place that's more expensive. What? That I don't like the setup, you know, and so.
So those are the only 2 locations in the whole city where you live.
I don't know how to find things.
Well, why don't you manifest it? Okay.
Have the belief that I can.
Well, then change it. So I'm calling you out on that. And then.
Love you, Lark.
just stop it. Okay, seriously, stop it. The other thing is, you know, charging people. I have done a lot of things for free for my mom, and she has oftentimes not done them. And so she needed this business course that I was doing. And I said, Mom, I know you need it, but I know you won't do anything unless you pay for it. I made her pay full price for that thing because I knew she wouldn't do it. And I felt good about it. And so you have to realize that if they're not putting skin in the game, they don't care.
Yeah.
So, you know, make them put skin in the game or just walk away because they won't do anything. And then here's something that happened just last week about the fed up thing. I was starting a new program I was launching, and I got fed up of not doing any sales. And so I was having a launch date last Tuesday, and I got on the phone. I had people said, yes, yes, I'm interested, you know, but nobody put money down. So I got on the phone last Tuesday, which was the day that the special was ending. And I called and I called and I did not give up all day. And I closed 3 sales on the day because I didn't just let it ride. I didn't just say, oh, they'll do it if they want to, if they have the right feeling, if it's good for them. I called, I nailed them down, and I exerted myself. And that's what it's going to come down to, is I got fed up. So that's what I want to say.
Okay, thank you, Lark.
Get fed up, go talk to more people, go make it happen.
Okay, shall do.
There you go. Cool, who else? What else do you guys have? What questions, comments?
This is Vicky, but I forgot what my question is, so give me a minute.
Hey, Vicky. Good morning.
Let's see.
Wedding, did you do the wedding?
Yes. We've got one more event this Saturday, but the major part of it is done. I'm just doing cleanup.
There you go.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Yep. Yeah, it turned out beautiful.
That's awesome.
I don't want to say it in a negative way, but I'm just going to say it the way it is. Okay. So I have been out to make a difference for families for 20 years. And
been out
I feel
for
like
what?
20 years. Making a difference.
I didn't catch that first part. Oh, making a difference. Okay.
Yeah. So I've been out making a difference for families for 20 years.
Okay.
And I feel like, okay, my certain aspects of my own family suck. And I feel like I can make a difference for others, but I come home and like, oh, I suck. My family sucks. There you go. And so I, you know, it's like there's this whole thing of, I've been playing this game back and forth where I'll overfocus on other families because I don't know how to do it in my own family. And then I come home and then I get resigned about my own family. And then, so it doesn't work for me to keep doing that. And so I've been taking actions, but I get so frustrated because it doesn't seem. And I listening to Lark, I'm going, okay, I do more of the masculine way, which then I get a lot of resistance from the males. It works with females to go masculine.
It can work with
some
both. It's not.
What's that?
It's not gender tied.
Okay. It's not gender tied. But it
not
seems like with the males in my family, when I go masculine, then they come back masculine back in a negative way.
That very well could be. So what do you want?
There's different levels. So first of all, I want to feel safe in my own space so that I can consistently sleep, that my body trusts my safety, that I am safe.
Okay.
So that's like first level because it goes back and forth and I can function for a period of time without.
So what do you need to happen? What do you need to feel or have in order to feel safe?
I'm going to do it from what I need to not have first. Because then maybe I can see what I need to have.
Great.
That way. Okay, so what I don't need is to feel attacked, because the minute I feel attacked, then I don't feel safe.
Okay.
Or perception. Yeah. So that's what I don't need.
So I would start right there.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you need to feel not attacked, what do you need to feel?
Supported.
Supported. Is that support? Now here's going to be the thing where it's going to be up to you, okay?
Okay.
Support and attack. Can somebody be attacking yet you not feel attacked? Is that possible? I'm just saying, like, in general, like, if someone attacked someone, could someone be in a state where they didn't actually feel attacked?
Yeah, if I look at martial arts, because I've studied a little bit of martial arts. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How is that possible?
That it's where you've got the skill and you've got the you're in a space where it doesn't matter what other people are doing, you're safe.
Great. So you're in a space where it doesn't matter what other people are doing.
Yeah.
You just feel safe. And you said they have the skill.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a skill set and there's the no. Yeah. Because, you know, like one of the guys I studied under, that's basically what he taught us is so much about how to hold your body, how to use your body,
Great.
Know, even I could throw someone that even though they're twice
okay.
my size.
What about verbal attack? Is there a way that somebody could be verbally attacked and not feel attacked?
Logically, yes. Yeah.
So logically, tell me about it logically.
Logically, it just makes sense. But. You know, in reality, words can't really hurt you.
So how would it not hurt somebody? Let's say somebody is yelling at somebody or somebody's verbally attacking. How would that person react so as not to feel attacked?
I just, like if you're looking at martial arts, it would just be the words either go right past you or over you, so it doesn't even hit you. Or when it does hit you, you know how to allow your body to just soften so that it doesn't bruise, doesn't hurt.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, so it can be done.
Yeah, I know it can be done.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not saying you're going to do it, but it can be done. Okay.
Okay.
So you could create, you could accumulate, you could learn the skills that it takes of how to be in a space where somebody's verbally attacking you or physically attacking you and you don't feel attacked, right?
Yep.
Okay. And if you had that, how would you feel?
I would just feel like I could face whatever I need to face in the moment and I'm fine.
Okay. So if I were in your shoes and I was having your problem, I would make one of my number one focuses be that. And I would make my studies, my focus, everything that happens to be like, okay, I'm going to be in a state where I'm looking to be able to handle any type of attack where I never feel attacked again. And I feel like I can handle it. I'm capable and safe. So what does that look like? Well, it looks like it's being really present. So
yep.
If I was going through that and then today something happens and you feel attacked, what would you do if you were really focused on not feeling attacked?
look at what other skill set or what other way of viewing things that I need to go to so that it just.
Yeah. You got to get fed up. And if it happens enough, you'll get fed up to where you're finally like, okay, look, I am actually going to be in a place where I am no longer attacked ever again.
Yeah, because
it's like Frederick Douglass. Remember his story?
No.
So I'll tell it to you again. Okay? And then I want you to take what you want from it and then act on it. So Frederick Douglass was a slave.
Oh, yes.
And
I remember that one.
And I'm going to remind you. So he was beaten, attacked. That was part of their role. They get beat. And he ran away, and he heard from some of the slave breakers that they cannot educate the slaves, because then they'll get up and revolt. So he heard that, and he got knowledge. He knew that it was possible. So you know that it's possible. You've seen it. You've heard it. So you got that. So he knew that it was possible. So he started to study, and he started to learn how to read, got educated. He said, okay, I'm getting educated, and I'm learning how and why. And what happened is he ran away because he just saw that it was just not, this was not worth it. So he ran away from the attack. Yet they caught him. They took him to the slave breaker. He went through it, and he ran away again. And this time he met a guy who had a root, and he said that this was a magical root. And Frederick Douglass mentions that he didn't really think it was magical, but there was something to him making a decision that he was never going to be beat again. So the root gave him the desire, gave him permission to say, I'm never going to be attacked again or beaten again. And as he went through and they caught him again, and he goes back, instead of being beaten like normal and being attacked like normal, he did something different. He changed. Normally, whereas he would have taken it, because of the decision he made, he changed how he handled the situation. And in his case, he fought back. I'm not saying that's the case for you, but the lesson is that he did something different. And as he did something different, they never beat him. They couldn't. He fought back, and it was he was never beat again. So Vicky, I get it that like you're going through this stuff and it's happening over and over and over, but you got to get to the point where you're fed up. It's like, I'm done. I'm done being beaten, and I'm going to change. And you analyze it. You look at it. You figure it out. You have the solutions. They're there. You have the knowledge. It's there. Is it going to be easy? Maybe not. Maybe so. But I know that if you really focus on this and dedicate yourself to learn and grow from this, you'll solve it because you're a powerful being. So what does that mean for you? What'd you get out of that?
Well, what I get out of it is that that I have the answers, and I just need to trust that I'm going to figure this out.
Yeah. And then start doing more with it. It's just like Lori Kay. It's just like Lark. It's just like anybody. When you decide something and then you're like, okay, I'm going to focus on this. I'm going to actually do it. Then there's going to be a lot of changes that'll happen. You're going to show up differently. You're going to respond differently. You're going to analyze it differently. And if this is truly your focus, you're going to totally create what you want. And if it's not creating, it's going to get you so fed up that you're going to figure out the education, you're going to read a book, you're going to hear something until it's like clicks. And then you're like, okay, I got it. And you handle it. And you get the solution. You get the result.
Okay. Because this is the thing that gets in the way of everything else. It's the thorn. Okay.
Absolutely. And you've got a great team to support you here. You've got a good group. So you're not alone in figuring this out. But we support you. And we trust that you can figure this out. And you're the only one that can.
So, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about getting personal revelation about how we need to move forward? I know that there is external sources that will say you have to do it this way to connect, and that we need to go inside to figure out what we need to personally do. But I feel like it's helpful to hear different ways to get the answers, different ways to feel like you're connected. Because sometimes it feels like you can't get the answer, but obviously we should be able to get the answer. If we have a loving God, we should be able to get the answer. So what do you
do? What do you think?
Well, for me, I get a lot of benefit when I do my Kundalini yoga.
Great.
But then I had somebody say, oh, you shouldn't use that as a crutch, you know, and you need to be more in your body. That gets you out of your body. And so I stopped doing that, and just to experiment what that would be like. And I still, I've taken a hiatus from the scriptures for a while. I do family scripture study, but I haven't been doing personal scripture study because I was getting absolutely nothing from it, nothing at all, which made me sad. So I looked to other sources. But anyway, I get more from being on grass and around a tree and talking to God that way than on my knees in a closet or
great.
In front of a book of scripture.
Do that then.
Right. But I'm just curious if it would be beneficial to hear different ways. Not that one way is the right way and another is a wrong way, but
there's so many ways. Like, the cool thing is, like, inspiration. Let's think about it first, okay? How does one receive inspiration? What's the whole philosophy there? And this is open-ended for anybody. What state does someone have to be in order to receive inspiration? How do you create inspiration?
I think you have to have a question or something that you want.
Yeah, good. Okay, so a question, something you desire, something you want. What else?
Be in a space to receive when whatever it takes to become in that space.
Good. So be willing to receive it. Okay. So have a question. Be willing to receive it, the answer, and act on it. What else?
My hang up is trusting my answer.
Great. So being willing to trust. Okay. What else?
I think you need to know who you're talking to. I mean, I want to be reaching towards the right direction.
Great. So reaching towards the right direction for inspiration. Good. What else? So we've got several key principles, right? Now, the methodologies can be whatever way you choose. Sometimes it's in nature. Sometimes it's on knees. Sometimes it's reading a book. Sometimes it's reading a historical scriptural book. Sometimes it's whatever you might choose. Sometimes it's thinking. Sometimes it's meditating. Sometimes it's yelling. Sometimes it's... But if all those pieces are there, then why wouldn't somebody get inspiration? Right? So I don't like to get caught up in all of the this is how to. I prefer people to learn what it is, how to replicate it, and do it how they want. So there's a lot of ideas you could do, like writing, reading, exercising, meditating, thinking, yelling, screaming, doing systems and processes, connecting to nature. Like there's a million ways you could get yourself in a state for that. It's infinite. But the key is to have those pieces in place. And then if you're not having one of those in place and you really want inspiration, my wife's turning on the blender, hold on. Then you have to get fed up with not receiving that inspiration and then do what it takes to get it. And it might be one piece at a time, right? Like maybe it's, oh, the focus is I gotta trust myself. Or, man, the focus is I got to receive. And then you do whatever it takes to learn how to receive. Or learn how to trust. Or learn how to be still. Or learn how to be active. Like whatever your way of inspiration is. And sometimes we think that we just want like this way to do it. But there's not just one way. You can have believers, non-believers, all sorts of people receive inspiration. From all sorts of different denominations, religions, beliefs.
I often wonder where the source comes from. I think... You know, I want to hope that it's coming from the higher being that is God or Jesus or whatever. Sometimes I wonder if it's just an aspect of my brain. And yet, it's like I would like to decipher between what's me and what's them.
Yeah.
Because I do think there's a higher spot in me that answers can come from. But anyway, and that confuses me to have that belief that it can come from
within. So I would say the biggest thing that I would focus on for you is trusting yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
Like that would be the focus.
And
if you trust
yourself,
you could do anything.
Well, yes, but the problem is I get different answers at different times. So it's like I'll get answer A to this question, then it's the same question, but 4 months later, but I get a different answer, and I'm like, say what? And
so
I understand
yourself.
That things can change in time, but,
So if you trust yourself, you'll just start doing the things you know you need to do while tuning in, and you'll be able to differentiate that, and it'll be serving you, and you won't question it. You'll be like, this is it. And even if it turns to chaos, like I've been in that where I thought I was like in tune, ended up losing like $20,000 and stuff. And then I looked back and I was like, that's exactly what I needed to go through. Like it was the exact right answer still. And
no,
it doesn't
that...
take my trust away.
Yeah.
By seeing a result that was different than I expected. And in fact,
no.
It boosts it.
And that's been my problem, is sometimes I knew I was following what I thought was inspiration, and it turned into total chaos. And
yeah,
it was.
But if you trust yourself, you can turn the chaos into anything you want.
Yeah. What are other ways that you can learn to trust yourself?
A lot of them are micro decisions. Like when you decide something and say it and then do it, like you're trusting yourself. So like when you're like, what do I want? And you just say what you want and then go do it. Like
Okay. You're
learning to trust yourself. Also, aligning would be a huge one to trust and redefining what trust means and yourself. So I would start there, honestly.
Okay.
And then building trust is saying things and doing them.
Okay.
When you break your commitments, you lose trust in yourself. So it's different than setting goals. Like goals are not set in stone, but they're like roadmaps. And I used to use goals as like, oh no, if I didn't make a goal, I lost trust in myself. And I stopped doing that. I was like, that's not serving me. Like, I started to focus on more of who I became and my decisions that I made to get the goals and using more of that to guide me. Does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Cool. All right. Anybody else?
Hey, Tyler.
Hey.
It's Joseph. It's interesting.
What's
that
up,
the
man?
Whole, it's pretty good. It's interesting that the most of the topic that was going on today is just getting fed up. At least that was mine, kind of. I've been kind of having some difficulties about like a month ago. It kind of shows up in reality now. Because like kind of a couple of days ago, my starter kind of ran out on me on my vehicle. But the most important thing is it is the starter of my vehicle, but I found out that I'm having a difficulty, having a starter to ability to start, to start up my engines personally. And it showed up in my vehicle. So it's just a sign that like I just need to go ahead and get out. I think I don't know, I guess I'm just speaking out, but I think I really resonate with Lori Kay, what she was saying, and one thing I got out of it was I'm always like being so silent with like being quiet instead of like not speaking up, because I've been receiving more clients, but I feel like inside I can't work with them because I know the like the strategies, the tools, I've done it myself, but I feel like I haven't done it enough, and maybe I'm just sabotaging myself from starting with a client, because I know I got a paid client like more than a month ago, but I never started with them, and it's, you know, I.
So Joseph, on that, like, when are you gonna have enough knowledge? When are you gonna feel good enough?
I don't think it's actually the knowledge, honestly. It's more of just doing. But
so when are you gonna feel capable enough to do it?
It's probably just changing the intention of what the thought process is and the definition. But
cool.
I'd
so
like,
what is it right now?
It's probably in the same lines of what I said before. Like, I'm feel like I'm not adequate of getting other people results.
Okay.
Because I've been dabbling for like the past 4 years, involving with the energy side of going a lot of conferences, getting mentors and other things. And I still dibble dabble. And like,
so
instead of like getting started and just going for it. Yes.
What gets people results?
By taking action.
So do you get people results?
In some type of manner, yes.
Do you?
Yeah, because when I have like free sessions with people, they can see a little difference happening involving me working with them. But
and who's actually getting the results?
It's probably myself.
So this person you just worked with that you said they got the results, who got the results? Was it you or them?
Probably say both of us, because I did it first and I got a result, and I did it with them and they got the result. Just they feel better and stuff because working on with energy healing.
Great. So they felt better.
Yes.
So who got them the results? Was it you or them?
Well, they were willing to ask, so, but it's more of my side that I got them the results.
Is it? So you got them that result. How did you get them that result?
By learning different modalities.
Great. So you just did the modality, and so it was all you. You got them the result.
Yes, but not fully, because I don't know. This still seems to be worked on, and because
okay, so
I don't
here,
know.
Right
now, I'm facing a thing that's been showing up for a while. I can get people half of the results, and or like being half healed, but I can never figure out at this point to get them fully, like healed or fully get that result, because I haven't got fully. Did it myself, so
it's your job to make them fully healed, and it's your job to get them all the results.
Well, that's probably what it feels like. So
yeah,
because anything I do is definitely a reflection of them.
So here's a new paradigm. Okay, this is a big thing in this world. In energy world, okay? Now, I get it, like a doctor. You go to a doctor, who got the results? Well, the doctor had all the knowledge. They may have done the surgery. They were the ones that facilitated it, so it was like them doing stuff to you. However, in that case, there's a lot of things done to the person, right? In energy work and in anything that is transformational, the more it's about the person and less about you, the better results they will have. So if you feel like you can't do something because you can't get them a result, well, good. Well, shame on you. And I literally use that word specifically for trying to be their solution and trying to be their result. A good transformational coach helps the person step into their own power and find their own path and solutions. Now you have the skills to help do that. You've been trained. But it's not you that's doing it. It's them. So the more you can separate that, the easier it will be for you to just coach people, because then you're not tied on having to get them results or not. It's more about helping them attain their own goals.
I guess I have to bring myself to more of a conclusion that I'm here to empower instead of giving them results.
Yeah, when are you going to make that decision? That sounds like a really good choice.
Now.
Great. So, Joseph, this goes back to trusting people. Do you trust the people to actually get a result?
Well, I'm still trying to trust myself to get results from more of myself.
Great. Well, that's a good starting spot, right?
Yeah.
The more you trust yourself, the more you'll trust others.
And I can't tell you how many times I've been in nature and like connected with trees. They always says the same thing every time.
Trees are pretty intelligent beings. So, Joseph,
yes,
what do you need to do in order to trust yourself more so that you can trust other people and have them be in charge of their transformation? Because if that was the case, then you would fulfill sooner than later with your clients.
That's actually a golden question for me, honestly. It feels like it digs deep.
Good. So I'm going to give you that question to go meditate on. Okay?
Can you ask
and
it
come
one more
up
time?
With an answer. What do you need to do in order to trust yourself more so that you can trust other people to get their own transformation? Okay.
Okay.
Boom. So go figure that out and don't spend too much on it. Just go figure it out and go start doing some of that stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Can I bring one more thing up too? I know about a month ago I went to Lagoon. And I found like a paradigm that I faced too, but it's also a matter of trust, what you were saying. I was kind of scared of going on rides, like on big roller coasters, and I didn't want to do it. And I was facing like all through my body, like I don't want to do it, but I did it anyways. But it's like you have, I don't know, I don't think it's maybe way to bring it up. But I spend so much time on just thinking about it instead of doing it. And if I think about it too much, it becomes scary.
Yeah. You'll think yourself right out of it.
But when you start doing it, then it becomes, it's like, this is not bad. This is very maintainable. But
do you think you could help somebody who's been crippled in their life, not moving forward with that paradigm that you just had? Do you think there's other people who feel stuck and are incapable of moving forward because they feel like it's too big, they think it too much? Is there anyone
sometimes
else
I feel
on
like
this,
it,
in this planet?
Sometimes I feel like that? It's only me.
Yeah, logically, do you think there's anybody else who ever struggles with that?
Yeah, it's just probably yes.
Probably. And do you think it's probably more than 100 people who struggle with actually moving forward and achieving their goals because they're afraid?
Yes.
Yeah, do you think there's more than 1 million people?
Probably.
Yeah. So, Joseph, that's a really good thing that you have overcome. Even if it was just a moment of awareness and you did something, you could teach that to somebody. And you could help somebody through to learn the lesson so that they can attain results. Like, what a great lesson to teach. Right?
Awesome. Yeah. So I have one last thing, but this is involving with my first mentor actually that paid me, especially in the energy healing conference. She wants me to work with her kids to mm-hmm. get to them to be introduced to energy healing. Is it better for me to work with the kids? But because all of them are empaths and all of them are not open to energy healing, should I just work with the mom that hired me so she can?
How old are the kids?
One is 16 all the way to 25.
Yeah, that's going to be your decision, man. Like, do you feel capable of actually communicating with that age group and helping them see it?
Okay. Well, I just wanted your opinion on that.
Yeah. I mean, my opinion is if you feel confident and capable, do it.
I have an input on that. If I've hired you to do a certain thing, like if I hired you thinking you're going to help in a certain way, I'd want you to help in the aspect that I had hired you in. So if my hope yep. was for you to work with my children, that was my intent, would be for you to work with my children. Because sometimes it can't come from, like, I can't work with my own daughter right now. She doesn't want me. Other people, it needs to come from other people and not mom.
Yeah. Fulfill on what people paid you for. Go fulfill. Like, that's important.
Awesome. Thank you, Tyler. And thank you, Lori K. Yeah. and Lorik and Vicky and Eddie or at can't remember it's Andy. But for your comments.
Cool. All right, guys. So that sums it up. I do have a coaching call here in a few minutes. So I want everybody just to go around and share your one takeaway, one thing you're going to do because of what you heard. So everybody just state your name. So state your name, and then this is what I'm going to do. Boom.
Andy, blueprint, program details, strategy session.
Boom.
Lori K., brainstorm who I can talk to, actually talk to them to get them into my live event.
Nice.
Joseph, asking the question, what do I need to do to trust myself so I can help others be fulfilled and empowered?
Great.
This is Lark, and I am going to increase my income now.
Boom.
This is Vicky, and I am going to read another article on brain, the amygdala, and so I can understand my own amygdala. And then I'm also going to view interaction from being, instead of recognize my own reaction, but step aside from the reaction and then be curious as to what's really going on.
Nice. Okay, is that everybody? No. All right. Rock it out, everybody, and be sure and nail those things out. We'll see you guys next week on the call. And anything else that you guys need help with, just post on the Facebook groups, tag me, and we'll handle it. So thanks so much.
Thank you.